The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads. You've got the H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on those dirt trails and kick up some mud. Or the third row seating gets your whole family in to experience the thrill together. The dual wireless charging pads make sure that no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead cell phone. Think about those adventurous activities you can do, like me, taking a ski trip up with the family, maybe going on a camping expedition, anything and everything. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Gary Parrish, welcome back to the CBS Sports I Own College Basketball Podcast, where we sometimes discuss camel fighting, dodo birds, leaky black. The I Own College Basketball Podcast is presented by Jersey Mike's. Jersey Mike's, a sub above. Matt Norlander is here with me. If you're watching on YouTube, smash the like button like you're Brandon Davies. You have consent. And don't forget while you're here, if you haven't done it already, to also subscribe to the CBS Sports College Basketball YouTube channel. Let's get into it. The NCAA tournament resumes on Thursday with four Sweet 16 games. We're going to get to that in a bit, but I want to start with the big headline from the past 24 hours, and that's that John Calipari is returning for a 16th season at Kentucky. UK Athletic Director Mitch Barnhart announced that decision on Tuesday night. Deadleg, first question for you, is this the correct decision for UK?
I don't think it is the correct decision for Kentucky. It seems unavoidable that it's led to this point. I did report on Monday that Calipari expected to stay and Mitch Barnhart did not want to fire John Calipari. I do think the situation we have here is what I speculated on the night that Kentucky lost to Oakland. I truly believe that the only reason John Calipari is the coach at Kentucky is because it is too expensive to pay him out of his contract. And in talking to two sources in the past few days, one of the biggest sticking points here is a lot of that money would have to come from the Kraft family, which is among the biggest donors around Kentucky's men's basketball program and Kentucky athletics. And I was told Joe and Kelly Kraft just not going to pay John Calipari north of $30 million, no matter how you decide to, if you were to decide to pay him that money and how it would get paid out over installments or whatever. They are not going to let him walk away with all of that money, much of it being the money that they would have to put forth to do it. And so because of that, Calipari and Mitch Barnhart, they met on Tuesday and Barnhart confirmed what felt inevitable. I mean, basically, they had those two men who don't have a good relationship and had not talked in months, I was told, like had significant talks of any kind. They had to avoid going into a room together and then coming out fuming against each other. And that did not happen. So they dodged any kind of significant disagreements to worsen the situation. And now we will have to wait and see on what changes come from Kentucky's program. Staff changes feel, frankly, inevitable. But as one source speculated to me, the one thing that we had to kind of wait and see on here, and we don't really truly have clarity as of Wednesday morning, is, you know, would Cal go and sit down with Barnhart, and Barnhart basically says, you have to either just flip your entire staff or half your staff or do all this, and Cal says, I'm not doing it. And if I don't want to do it, what are you going to do? Fire me? Then fire me. Give me my money. We don't know that that actually happened, but that would be one thing that could worsen the situation. We'll see. Things can't stay the same. Calipari went on radio Monday and basically owned up to a lot of stuff. The fan base is still furious over this, much of it anyway. And this feels lame duckish. That's all. Kentucky could well be a ranked program next season, be a good team, get a 2, 3, 4, 5 seed in the tournament, and maybe it can even make a Sweet 16 run, and that'll be good. But I do think that Kentucky's best days are behind it, and this is delaying the inevitable. And so Kentucky probably made the decision that it had little choice but to make, but that doesn't necessarily make it the right decision. And now Kentucky fans kind of have to just sit in this and just kind of ride it out. Maybe you get a good season or two still out of Calipari. I mean, he had a really good team. It's just letdown after letdown after letdown, and we await to see what changes come with within the Kentucky program. But I was told this one last thing by a source: is like there will be stuff that like we don't aren't privy to, but just in terms of the day to day of how they run the program, how Calipari has chose to do A, B, C, 1, 2, and 3. Some of that stuff is going to fundamentally change, with the idea that implementing those changes will lead to a healthier culture around the program and hopefully more success when it matters in this month of March.
Isn't it always going to be expensive anytime you move on?
Yes, but it does drop down. Like, it's not going to be above, as I understand the contract, it's not going to be above $30 million in perpetuity. So, yes, it always will be expensive. I agree. I mean, but this is the reality of the situation with paying him that much money. That is the, if it was $12 million, John Calipari wouldn't be the coach of Kentucky.
I'll accept that as the truth. It's not like people have never paid this type of money to remove a coach before. Texas A&M just paid twice as much to remove a football coach. So when the two biggest arguments against making a move right now are money and, well, we'll lose the recruiting class. Well, anytime you move on from John Calipari, it's going to cost a lot of money, perhaps not this much, but a lot. And you're always going to, the recruiting class is always going to fall apart. So you're just pushing off the inevitable. And I really do think that's what they're doing here. They're just pushing off the inevitable, because his next bad season and or his next bad NCAA tournament will almost certainly be the end of it. And not too many people can flourish under that type of job pressure. And it's not even that it might end after next season or the season after that. It's that every time something bad happens between now and the end, it will feel like a bigger than normal situation. Like every time they lose a recruit to Duke, it'll feel bigger than normal. Every time they lose a non-league game, John Calipari will trend and Kentucky fans will say, we should have done this last year. Why didn't we do this when we should have done it after the loss to Oakland? Like, that's going to be your life going forward. And it doesn't mean, I know you said you don't rule out that they could have some good years under John Calipari. I don't rule out that they could win a national championship under John Calipari. Like, he's always going to have the players. He's always had the players. So it's not unimaginable for me that John Calipari could go out in the transfer portal through name, image, and likeness, what looks like one of the best teams in the country, and then have them looking like one of the best teams in the country next season. Like, that's a realistic thing. But the larger question becomes, what do you do when your fans no longer believe in the guy leading the whole thing? And that's where I'm totally understanding of the theory that they should go ahead and do this now. Move on. I also get why they're not. And I guess the simplest explanation for why they're not is because it's easier to just stay together. You know, think of it as a marriage. When this type of money is involved and these types of years are invested, it's probably easier for these people to just stay together than it is to divorce under these circumstances. And that's why they're going to stay together, at least for now. I'm not here to predict how it goes, because, you know, even though John has his shortcomings, it's never talent, or it's rarely talent. So I'm assuming he'll have another super talented team next season, and then we'll see what he does with it. But if he doesn't do great with it, then it'll be real miserable in Lexington and throughout that state.
Two other things on this. One, it was speculated to me, and I think this is accurate speculation, that Mitch Barnhart, who should be, and I think in Kentucky he probably is, but he was the one who approved this contract for Calipari. And so Barnhart does deserve plenty of scrutiny for even allowing it to get to this point. Rarely, and I mean rarely, not never, but rarely is a lifetime appointment style contract the move for any university to go to. And I would say even more so now than ever, given the climate of college athletics, and no matter the stranglehold you may think you have on a certain school, a certain conference, a certain sport, it can put you in a spot you don't want to be in quicker than you might realize. And so I think it's derelict of duty of most athletic directors, and frankly, probably presidents that sometimes might get a little eager to want to stick with their guy, you know, through thick and thin after however many accomplishments. I get that. You can putting it that spot. I just don't think it's good. So Barnhart's also on the hook here, and I know Kentucky fans are going after him as well, because frankly, the fact that it is in this spot. And you do have a situation between two men who just don't have a great relationship. Like it falls on him as well. But it was speculated to me that Barnhart, I don't know how long he envisions himself being the athletic director at Kentucky, of his own design or not, isn't all that eager to fire Calipari and be the one tasked with getting a new coach in there. And who is that going to be? What, you know, everything that entails with that, just something that's not something that Barnhart is overly eager to go through. They're going to have to go through it eventually, but right. I think that these are also factors that played a role and led us to where we are here today, this morning, yesterday with where they are. And I mean, I get that, but eventually John Calipari is not going to be the coach. There's going to be someone. And I had seen this point tossed around and I do agree with it. Yes, it got unacceptable for Kentucky standards at the end of Tubby Smith's career. Check that versus what Cal has been. Oh, by the way, Tubby didn't last this long. Now the contract was different, whatever. And Gillespie, it was a disaster. But Kentucky, it's Kentucky, man. Like they have had multiple. How many coaches have they had win a national championship? Four? Five? I mean, they have had success over the decades. They've done it in the here and now. They've done it in the 50s, in the 60s, the 70s, and in the 90s. So, I don't entirely buy, but I do. But whether I buy it or not is immaterial. I think that those are also factors that led us here.
Mitch Barnhart's 64 years old. I think he's closer to retirement than most people probably realize. And that's another reason why it's easier to just stay together. If you're Mitch, if you're like, all right, can I get one? Can next year be good? Because if next year's good, then that means he's going to get a following year. So if year 16 is good, then year 17 is good. And can I get out of here by then? And then let this be somebody else's issue. Somebody else can be the athletic director who fired John Calipari. And somebody else can be the athletic director who makes the next hire. Because if I do that now, then I'm that guy. And what if Cal then goes somewhere else and wins a national title and my next hire isn't working out so well? Well, then that's part of my legacy, and I can just push all that down the road. So that's another reason why this is easier. To your point on lifetime contracts, I think they're almost always dumb, and especially at places like Kentucky and North Carolina and Duke. Like, why do you have to give somebody a lifetime contract? Why not just say, hey, man, this is as good as it gets, but if you ever want to leave, knock yourself out. Just be like, hey, you know?
Yeah.
This is if you ever want to leave Kentucky for somewhere else, knock yourself out. We don't think you will. And if you do, it'll probably be good for us, you know, because we'll be out of it. If the alternative is a $33 million contract, it'd probably be better for us not to have one of those. So I don't understand why some of it's just press release stuff. It's because you want your coach to be able to say, I have a lifetime contract.
Yeah.
But whatever that's worth, it ain't $30+ million when you end up in a situation like this. Just some bullet point stuff, and then we'll move on. So next year will be year 16. Through 15 years, John now has four Final Fours and one national title, but he's been stuck on that stuff for a while. Zero Final Four since 2015, zero Sweet 16 since 2019. He missed the NCAA tournament in 2021. Lost to St. Peter's in the first round in 2022, lost to Kansas State in the second round, 2023, lost to Oakland in the first round, 2024. To your point about Tubby Smith, the great years weren't as great outside of the national title one, of course, but the bad years weren't as bad. Like the bottom was higher for Tubby. Tubby never, whatever John's worst years are, they're worse than Tubby's. And Tubby got pushed out after 10 years. The year that John lost to St. Peter's, he had the National Player of the Year. The year that he lost to Oakland, he had two top 10 picks.
He had the National Freshman of the Year. I mean, yes. Reed Sheppard, I mean, we'll see if he wins it for us, but he has won a National Freshman of the Year award already. Yeah.
How about this? Since the last Final Four in 2015, John Calipari at Kentucky has coached, take a deep breath, Jamal Murray, Tyler Ulis, De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk, Bam Adebayo, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Kevin Knox, PJ Washington, Jared Vanderbilt, Wenyen Gabriel, Tyler Hero, Keldon Johnson, Emmanuel Quickley, Tyrese Maxey, Johnny Juzang, Brandon Boston, Oscar Tshiebwe, Ty Washington, Bryce Hopkins, Kellen Grady, Kason Wallace, Antonio Reeves, Rob Dillingham, Reed Sheppard, DJ Wagner, Justin Edwards, Aaron Bradshaw, just to name a few. In that 9-year span, zero Final Fours, one missed NCAA tournament, two first-round exits to St. Peter's and Oakland. If you're wondering how we got here, that's how we got here. And I will say this, and then we'll move on. The thing that would frustrate me most if I'm a Kentucky fan, because I do gather, I didn't listen to every word, but I did read every quote I could find. I do gather that John mostly touched on the right points on that radio show on Tuesday night. He seemed to handle it well with humility. He knows he's up against it. He knows how people feel about him connected to that program right now. And he seemed to handle it well. The thing that would frustrate me if I were a Kentucky fan is that he is constantly acting like he just figured something out that like everybody else figured out 5 years ago. Like last night on radio, and even after the game to Oakland, the loss to Oakland, he's saying things like, well, you know, we just got to look at it. Like, you know, can you really take all these freshmen now? Or do you have to get older? Bro, we said this. Like we've been saying this for a few years now. And then it's like early in the season when they're playing faster and shooting all these threes. And he's like, yeah, you know, the thing people have to realize is like the game has changed. It's like, do people realize that 5 years ago? Like, what are we talking about? That's the part. Do you pick up on that as well?
I do. Yes. I mean, some of it is just kind of a slightly boilerplate, and he's just trying to talk his way through it. But yes, there's definitely a little bit of that, GP.
Yes. Yeah. So I get the Kentucky fans' frustration. I wish you guys the best. Hopefully it'll go well. But these things tend to end a certain way when you get this firmly on the hot seat. Unless you're Brad Brownell.
That's right.
It's tough.
We all know John Calipari is no Brad Brownell. We all know that now.
We're about to find out. Is John Calipari a Brad Brownell or not? We're about to find out. With that, let's turn our attention to the NCAA tournament. Sweet 16 resumes on Thursday. We'll talk about that next. First, though, a word from our partners.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, Anderson Cooper?
Again, if you're listening to the show, you didn't hear Anderson Cooper, but continue.
I like Anderson Cooper. Why are there balloons and stuff going over my face? Did you see that?
I didn't. No, I was bringing up my notes. I missed it. Apparently, hey, by the way, well, before we get going, I didn't realize this at all. Apparently, there it is. What is happening? What is happening? If you're not watching, you got to go to YouTube. What is going on? Apparently, we appreciate everyone listening to the TV version of Ion College Basketball, which is also going into the audio feed. Dude, what is happening right now? Apparently there was a weird, like, no, like someone asked if we were playing online poker during the Monday episode. I was playing online poker. I didn't hear any of that. I didn't know that was happening. So I can't explain.
I was playing online poker during Monday's episode.
And let me guess, you got beat on the river.
Man, you know, I called and I had ace high straight. Yeah,
okay, Dale. Well, then if you got beat on the river, then that's truly a bet.
And then this jerk pulled a four of hearts on the river for the flush. Gets me every time. I was playing online, but I'm playing online poker right now.
Okay, well, that's...
Love Anderson Cooper. Oh, how do you think they negotiated with Anderson Cooper to say, hey, Anderson Cooper, we're going to put you in a commercial for 1/4 of a second?
Maybe that's what happened. I don't know. That's
I don't know either. Hey, here's a question for you.
Yes.
UConn trying to go back-to-back. Purdue trying to make the Final Four with the National Player of the Year for the first time since 1980 after losing to a 16 seed last season. Tennessee trying to make the Final Four for the first time ever. A possible Caleb Love UNC meeting in the Elite Eight, something else. What's the number one storyline heading into this Sweet 16?
You know, I think it's I think it's one of those. I'll toss you a few more though, real quick, and then we'll circle back to the ones that you touched on. I think Terrence Shannon Jr. Just Illinois being here. You know, Illinois sent out a release. As Illinois continues in the NCAA tournament, be advised that Terrence Shannon Jr. will remain unavailable to the media pursuant to the advice of his legal counsel. If you did not follow the sport during the season, this is just a quick reminder that Terrence Shannon Jr. was accused or has been accused of a sexual assault incident dating back in September when a woman told Lawrence, Kansas police that Shannon, you know, inappropriately touched her and, you know, child content warning here. I'll keep it as broad as possible, but basically, you know, use his hands to put him in places where they should not be. Shannon has denied the allegation. He was at one point suspended indefinitely. And then there was a preliminary injunction that was issued by the Douglas County District Attorney. He is due for a preliminary hearing in May on this case. And Illinois sent out a statement back in late January, I guess, that said, you know, in keeping with the court's directive, the school and Coach Brad Underwood were instructed to treat Terrence Shannon Jr. as they would any other member of the team, because he is in good standing in terms of matters of the law. And the school has been fine with playing him, but a court order has demanded that he not be adversely punished based on what are allegations right now. And that's where we're at. You know, we don't have to go deep. We talked about this plenty on the show, but Illinois is still here, just like Alabama was still here a year ago in the Sweet 16. They got knocked out. I think that will be a bit more prominent. The fact that he's not being made available to the media, I think, is frankly a weak excuse that I don't buy. If you're not comfortable putting him in front of a microphone, you shouldn't be comfortable putting him on a basketball court. That's a big story. And then other stuff real quick, and then UGP. NC State just getting to this point, I think they continue to be talk about the opposite kind of story. NC State, DJ Burns, DJ Horn, just a super, super, super fun story. They're still here, the only double-digit seed. I think the Big East trying to get to the Final Four with three teams is something to keep an eye on. The ACC's run is also something. But I think the biggest story is Purdue trying to get to the Final Four for the first time since 1980. I think if UConn makes the Final Four, then it going back-to-back becomes the story. It's still a big story, but Purdue trying to avenge last year, make its first Final Four in 44 years, and that slightly outpaces the UConn stuff. Tennessee and Creighton, by the way, OGP, trying to make their first Final Four, that's in there. And then the Caleb Love UNC thing is definitely in the air. Like, that's a big one, but give me the Purdue. I still think Purdue is the biggie here, and we are not shy on storylines across the board. That's the thing. When you look at these matchups, there's a ton everywhere. I mean, even UConn, San Diego State. Trivia time. How many times have we had a national championship game rematch the ensuing NCAA tournament the year after those two teams met in the title game? Do you know?
Three.
This is the fourth one. I'll give you that one.
You'll give it to you. I don't need you to give it to me. I was right.
Well, I said how many times? The answer is four. There were three previous times. So
yeah, you said how many times? We've done it three times.
Well, no, this is the fourth. So now we've done it four. Are you technically not counting the fourth because the ball hasn't been tipped yet? Is you're trying right. to get a technicality?
Yes. Okay. The ball hasn't been tipped yet. The ball is not tipped.
Okay, fine.
The ball is not tipped. We've done it three times. We will soon do it four.
Okay, here are the three previous ones, and I'll tell you. Cincinnati, Ohio State did this in 62. They actually met in the title game in back-to-back years. And then the other ones that we've seen with this have been in the Final Four. Vegas and Duke in 91, Florida and UCLA in 07, and now UConn, San Diego. Those were both Final Four games. Now we have that in the Sweet 16, which I think is pretty cool. I'm excited to be up in Boston, and we'll have a show Thursday for TV for Ion College Basketball. You'll get in the feed. I'll be coming to you from Boston. Anyway, that's a ton, GP, but there's a ton of storylines, so take it where you want.
I think there's a lot of great ones. That's sort of the byproduct of having so many good seeds advance to this round. Like, we're almost insured to have an incredible Elite Eight and a great Final Four, which is obviously awesome. I do think the biggest storyline is Purdue. And I don't know if you saw the post-game interview with Zach Edey after the win over Utah State.
Cats, yeah.
Yeah, and Andy asked him, you know, about the pressure to get out of that first weekend. And he hesitated for a moment, and then he said, there's no pressure. And I appreciate that Zach doesn't feel pressure, if he, in fact, doesn't feel pressure, because that's an awesome attribute. But there is real pressure here. There just is. Like, if UConn doesn't make it, and it's hard to imagine them not the way they look, but if UConn doesn't make it, it will not be an indictment on UConn basketball. And it will not be an indictment on Dan Hurley or Donovan Klingon or Tristan Newton. Nobody will say, UConn fans will be disappointed. The rest of us will go, man, can you believe UConn got upset? And that'll be the end of the conversation. If Houston gets upset and doesn't make it, nobody's going to question Kelvin Sampson, broadly speaking. It'll be like, man, they look like one of the best teams in the country all year. The computers highlighted that. And then they had an injury here, an injury there. And, you know, it just caught up to them. Then that'll be it. If Purdue doesn't make the Final Four, it will be perceived. I don't know that it will actually be, but it will be perceived among college basketball fans as an indictment of Purdue, of Matt Painter, of Zach Edey. That will be their legacy until they can undo it. And for Zach, he'll never be able to undo it. And Matt will have to undo it someday with somebody other than Zach Edey. I think there's more pressure on Purdue to get to Arizona than there is any team in the country. And I don't think it's close.
I agree with that. Said it on the show, said it on HQ. It's a fact. Purdue needs to make the Final Four to, you know, wash off some of the stink of last year, but also previous tournament disappointments. No Final Four since 1980. I mean, Gary Parrish was 13 years old the last time Purdue made the Final Four. It's been a long, long, long time. So that is the big one there. And it's the matchup. What's intriguing about the matchup is that Purdue They beat Gonzaga by 10 earlier this season in Maui. And it was just, if you watch the game, Purdue clearly, it was no doubt about it. I saw them destroy Gonzaga a year ago. Now, different teams, but still, you know, some common characters between both those games at PK 85. So Gonzaga has not presented an issue as of late against Purdue. But let me bring up the old Torvik here. I'll just go since March 1. I'm going to bring it up right now.
Somebody sorting data.
I'm going to sort some data in real time for you. I bet you Gonzaga's top five in the country at Torvik. Three, since March 1, here are the best teams, the most efficient teams in the sport per Torvik. UConn, then Houston. This is since March 1. Gonzaga, Auburn, SIA, Iowa State, Duke, Purdue, A&M, SIA, Pitt. Hey, Pitt. What you doing
up,
there,
Pitt?
Buddy?
What's up, Pitt?
What you doing there? Number 9, Pitt, hello. And then North Carolina's 10.
Hey, I want to take this moment to apologize to the ACC.
How about Pitt? Wow.
Poor
wow.
Pitt.
I didn't see it.
That's, you know what? I don't want to apologize to the ACC as a whole, but I would like to apologize to Pitt.
How about Pitt, man? Ninth best in the country since March 1st. Well, you know, they haven't played a game in a week and a half, so
it's starting to look like Pitt deserved better.
I can't help but agree. Pitt turned out an invite to the NIT, so it lost to UNC in the ACC semis and said, you know what? We're top 10 in Torvik since March 1. If you sort the data, we're going to call it quits. We're good.
we're just going to
walk off. I'm out.
Yeah, we're just going to sit right here. we'll stay here. It's like in Major League Baseball, every once in a while, the guy who's leading the league in hitting, it'll be like, and he's hitting 342. Nobody hits 342 anymore. But like he's hitting 342 with one game left. And it's like, you know, if you go 0 for 4 today, you couldn't lose the batting title. And it's like, you know what? I'm good. I'm not playing anymore. That's what Pitt decided. Except the batting title is merely top 10 at Torvik since March 1st.
How about that? So Gonzaga has Gonzaga in the month of March has been more efficient than Purdue. Maybe we get something interesting there. I think that region, and we, as a heads up for our listeners and viewers, we will have another, again, we'll have another show on Thursday. So we're going to touch on some of this stuff. I don't want to be too repetitive, but I do think that the Midwest is the region. Well, tell me if you agree. I think it has the best chance at giving us three good close games. I think we could get it from anyone, but I think if you look at all the matchups and potential matchups on the board, I think our best chance for a regional to give us three good ones is out of the Midwest with Purdue, Gonzaga, Creighton versus Tennessee, and then any combination of those two. I think Illinois, Iowa State's the one that I'm most looking forward to of any Sweet 16 game. But, you know, UConn, San Diego State, tell me UConn wins by 27. I'm not going to be San Diego State. I'm just not going to be shocked. It's the Midwest, I think, that has the highest appeal for drama.
Yeah, because any of those four teams, Gonzaga, Purdue, Creighton, Tennessee, any of them could beat any of them. I wouldn't have said that necessarily 2 months ago, but, buddy, since March 1st.
Since March 1st, look it out.
I wish we could throw Purdue in there with them. I mean, Pitt. I mean,
they are there again.
Yeah, I wish we could just throw Pitt in there. Like a battle royal.
I think what's clear at this point is if Pitt was in the tournament and Indiana State was in the tournament, they'd be in the Sweet 16 somehow. Because Indiana State's off the NIT Final Four. So
there's no question about that. No, listen, any combination will be great in the Midwest, but don't we want Purdue, Tennessee, the National Player of the Year against the guy some people trick themselves into thinking could be the National Player of the Year for like 4 days?
Listen,
isn't that what we want?
That would be great. I have Creighton over Purdue in my bracket, so I guess I'm rooting for me to be right there. So that's what I would prefer to see. But I will also say that we do have a situation where all the first team All-American level players are still in this field in the Sweet 16 GP. We don't get that a ton. I think it's a pretty awesome thing that you've got Edie at Purdue, Connect at Tennessee, Jamal Shedd at Houston, RJ Davis at UNC, and then Tristan Newton at UConn. Those to me right now, I think, are the five first team All-American players that I'd have. If you want to say maybe Tyler Kolick, he's still in the tournament too. So it's cool that we've got good teams with a lot of star power and the best players in the sport still here. But I wouldn't shake my head at Connect versus Edie one, because those have been the top two. It's been Edie, then draw a line, Connect, then draw a line. Then you get in, I think, to Davis, Shedd, and Newton. But yeah, it's been awesome. And I think Purdue's the biggest storyline there. I will say Caleb Love versus UNC has immense potential. Let's just get there first. Carolina's got to make sure that Alabama can't, you know, have a 90 plus point night on Thursday. And then, you know, Tommy Lloyd's got to deal with Brad Brownell. So the challenge before Arizona, that's the one where we're going to have some lower seeded teams, some worse seeded teams move on here. I feel like no one is giving Clemson a chance. And just when you do that, you get Brownell'd. So if you thought getting Diebler'd was a problem, that's nothing compared to getting Brownell'd.
It is nothing. And on that note, that's the first game that's going to tip off on Thursday, Clemson, Arizona. Since we've got another show coming Thursday afternoon and another show coming Thursday night.
Yes.
You ever think we're talking too much?
Hey, I just love talking to you. So
I love talking to you too. That's the thing. I mean, do I ever feel like I'm talking too much? Yes, but then I settle on. But boy, ain't I having a blast with Deadleg? So then I just keep talking. First game, Clemson, Arizona is going to be on Thursday. We got plenty of time to talk about Friday's schedule. So let's take a break.
Yes.
Come back, partners, and focus on Thursday. Give me one more word from our partner. Come on, Anderson Cooper.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Tailored Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Tailored Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Tailored Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Tailored Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Tailored Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Tailored Brands.
6:09 Central, 7:09 Eastern on CBS on Thursday. It's America's most watched network. It's the network of stars. That's where we're going to get started. I don't think either of us would say we're most looking forward to Arizona Clemson on Thursday, but it's a fun game, if only because it's one coach, Tommy Lloyd, who has never been on the hot seat of any kind. And another man, Brad Brunell, who has never not been on the hot seat.
That's right.
He actually, at any moment, on the day he was hired at Clemson,
it was no. Hey, give him his grace. It was 24 hours later. He got 24 hours.
Yes,
he was living great. And then the next day, Jeff Goodman put him on the hot seat, and it's been trouble ever since.
Yes, basically. And he tweeted. He said, "I just don't know if Brad Brunell gets it."
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's always a big hang up with Goodman: who gets it and who doesn't get it. You know. Some guys really get it, and other guys just don't get it.
Okay, keep going.
Brad Brunell, buddy, we should send him around to hospitals to talk to patients who are sick.
Oh, my God.
He could just be like, "Hey, listen, I've been in my last days for a long time. I'm still here, so don't give up, you know? There's a message in there somewhere."
He's amazing, man.
He's amazing.
He really is. He is an inspiration. Once upon a time, there was a coach at Clemson, Oliver Purnell, who was an inspiration for Parrish, for one of his children, Oliver Purnell Parrish, of course. And he was known for getting out while the getting out was getting good, and beating everyone out of town. Brunell has gone the exact opposite route, and he is going to outlast us all. It is truly amazing.
Oliver Purnell, the great OP.
Yes.
One of my biggest regrets in my entire life is that I had an Oliver Purnell t-shirt. It had Oliver Purnell's name on it, and it said, "You're down with OP." Okay.
Got rid of it.
I don't know what happened to it. I miss it. I miss that. No, Oliver Purnell would check his weather app and it'd be like, "Man, it looks like it might rain in next month. I better go put a raincoat on and get out of here." Brad Brunell's like, "Oh my God, it's been raining for 10 years. I'm just going to stand right in it."
I'm just going to go running naked through the streets.
Yes, embrace
the rain.
OP was trying to avoid the rain, and Brad Brunell just stands in it like, "Come on, bring on more rain." He's amazing. And now he's in the Sweet 16.
He is, yes.
Just one victory over Arizona away from going to the Elite Eight, because that's how the bracket works.
It's
7:39 Eastern.
Okay.
On TBS True TV, San Diego State, UConn. Oh, Dan Hurley. They done messed around and put Dan Hurley on True TV.
It's also TBS. Hold on. It's on TBS as well. I think
No.
Okay.
I mean, you're right.
Okay. But you for the bit. All right. Here we go.
But we have to convince Dan Hurley. Do you know you're the reigning national champion, ranked number one in the country?
Hey, this thing isn't even going over the television. It's Westwood One only. They're not even putting your game on television.
Man, do you realize you're playing Thursday night in the Sweet 16 on Jefferson Pilot? Yeah. You have a Jefferson Pilot game. It is kind of disrespectful.
It is. People really
not disrespectful. It's just television. It's just the way television works. All right. but I love that Dan is 100% disrespected by this.
So good.
And then after we get that out of the way,
yes.
After we get the reigning national champs out of the way, 9:39 Eastern on CBS. Back to America's Most Watched Network. Back to the network of stars, Alabama, North Carolina. I think that's the game of the night. Do you agree? Alabama, North Carolina game
of the
night.
No, I think Illinois, Iowa State is the game of the night because you've got the number one offense against the number one defense and a tremendous matchup between those two teams. I think Alabama, Carolina is good. Alabama getting here by whatever the hell was played in the Grand Canyon game. I mean, that has rightfully been pegged as just barely basketball, but they won the game. We'll see if Bama's got a chance to win the game. They do. In fact, right now, the poll question, I got the results for you, was which one seed has the greatest chance at losing in the Sweet 16? I'll give you the results. Who do you think the answer is?
One seed has the best chance to lose in the Sweet 16.
Yes.
Okay, there's no way it's going to be UConn. So
UConn is last at 5%, which Dan Hurley, take it away. 5% of our audience thinks
I'm going to say the, and this is what I actually believe too. I would vote Houston.
It is Houston overwhelmingly. 52% of the live chat says Houston, and then North Carolina 29%, Purdue 13%. How about Purdue getting some decent respect there? UConn 5%. We will preview the Friday Sweet 16 games on our Thursday pod. Just we're going to keep the Thursday stuff here. But I do think that it's Illinois, Iowa State, and a really, really good clash. Terrence Shannon Jr. has been absurd with his performances here, and he hasn't carried Illinois, but he has emerged into that kind of guy who just, I mean, going back to March 10th, 25 points, 28, 40, 34, 26, and 30. He's on an absurd streak there. And how Iowa State shuts him down, and if it does, Marcus Damascus played well. Will he be the guy? Dane Danger. There's a lot of intrigue there. ISU, best defensive team in the country. They turn you over a ton. Illinois, for everything that it does, isn't like an elite team at not turning it over. It's okay. It's good. But I think that's a real sticking point. So UNC Bama's got plenty of intrigue. But for me, and it's not just because I'll be there, because I will be there, I just want to see how this game looks. I want to see if Iowa State can get into a 64-60 battle with Illinois and come out on the better side of it, because I think it will dictate how matters go. One quick last thing on ISU, just because it tends to win low scoring games, it's not the team it's been in recent years under TJ Otzelberger, where it was so slow tempo. It's not blazing up and down the floor, but they've got a little bit of a giddy up to their action. And so it's not like they're not playing Virginia. They're not playing St. Mary's, not playing that slow. But the defense is elite. And that's my favorite clash.
All right. So we got a Thursday schedule. We'll be back 2:00 Eastern on Thursday afternoon. Is that correct?
Yeah, so 2 East. We can get out of here, but give me your, let's just do our lower seeded, just our most likely lower seeded, worst seeded team to win on Thursday. You got San Diego State, Illinois, Bama, Clemson. Which one's going to win?
Well, I think it just most likely would be Illinois, right?
Illinois would be the pick. Yeah, it barely counts 2-3. But that's gotta be,
But I can see, it's hard for me to see UConn losing to San Diego State.
Yes.
I mean, it's a basketball game. I just watched Kentucky lose to Oakland, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard for me to see UConn losing at this point. I think Arizona's going to be fine. But Arizona is the team that it showed itself just in moments throughout the season to be like, oh, wow, you lost to Clemson? Like, they've done stuff like this. So I can't imagine that. But I think Arizona will be fine. I can see Alabama just coming out and knocking down 15 threes and beating you. Like, they're always capable of that. Like, it's never going to be a thing where they don't take them. So it just comes down to do they make them. And if they bang home, you know, if they go out and shoot 42% from three with 14 makes, you got big problems. So I think North Carolina wins the game, but nothing I wouldn't be shocked if Alabama upsets them.
I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't be shocked there. I feel like the tournament is due for another like, whoa, and Clemson beating Arizona would qualify as that, even though Arizona's just don't forget, Arizona has had weird losses, and I wouldn't qualify if this happened as a weird loss. PJ Hall's legit, folks. Like, yeah. Just keep that in mind. It should be a pretty intriguing Thursday, and I'd be surprised if at least two of these games aren't pretty gripping with like 2 minutes to 2 minutes to go. We do have a Thursday show. It is for CBS Sports Network, 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern, and GP and I will be in different locations than we are now, but we'll give you a lead in. So a lot of it will be looking ahead to Thursday's games, but the news cycle as well. I do think there's a healthy chance we'll have coaching movement to talk about by the time we talk again, GP, in 28 hours and change or so. We see where the Louisville stuff will go on this. Richard Pitino has emerged as, and he is a viable name in that search.
Did you see the leading candidate according to the betting markets?
No, give it to me.
The betting markets. Like, trivia time. Who do you think the betting markets say as recently as last night?
What betting markets are these, by the way? Sometimes these things, I get the emails too, but I didn't see this
one. I got them from Shohei. Shohei sent them to me.
Oh, there we go.
Shohei. Okay. Whatever betting market Shohei is using, that's he sent it to me.
I'll say Pat Kelsey's also in there. I'd say Pat Kelsey. That's my guess.
Jerome Tang.
Mark me down. Jerome Tang is not going to be the Louisville coach.
Take it up with Shohei.
I will. I'm taking it up with Shohei. I think Kelsey.
Shohei's got 400,000 on Jerome Tang to be the next coach at Louisville.
Gosh, we've got Mitsuhara trash talk in the chat now. All right. Good Lord. Anyway, the Louisville thing, I don't know if it'll close by Thursday, but that is continuing to go on. There was some like Josh Schertz buzz that bubbled back up. That is not happening, folks. He's still coaching Indiana State. That's not going to happen. But there's that. We'll see if Oklahoma State and SMU also close by the time we talk on Thursday. A lot of smoke with Andy Enfield going to SMU and leaving USC, which would,
by the way, would be brilliant.
Would be brilliant, he says. I'm not disagreeing.
I love it when coaches are smart enough, like, hey, they're not going to get me right now, but I've been here for a minute,
yeah,
and it might just be time to bounce.
Yeah.
This is a Buzz Williams move.
It certainly has been felt like it is moving that direction. Rodney Pete, who does Los Angeles radio, former USC player, obviously, he went on LA radio on Tuesday and said he's gone. He was the first to report it. He said he's gone, but that is not, as far as I can tell, actually become material yet. Maybe they're trying to, I don't know. He can also change his mind last minute, but yeah, if that happens, then we have another big job in
USC.
What
would Oliver Purnell do?
He'd be gone.
He'd have been gone last year.
Two years ago.
Yeah, he'd have took Bronny James 2 years ago to SMU.
He's gone. Yeah, Andy Enfield needs to call Oliver Purnell. I think that's the big lesson here today. And they both need to talk to Brad Brownell. Okay. Right. Okay. Because right. What Andy Enfield apparently has no interest in is being the next Brad Brownell. That's not. He's got no interest. Because you can't. You know what? There's only one. There's only one BB, and it's the guy down there at Clemson. I think that's a show.
All right. Shouts to Devin Downey. Shouts to Chester, South Carolina. Shouts to Hawk Larnell. Thank you guys once again for watching, listening. The Ion College Basketball Podcast. If you're not subscribed, please go subscribe anywhere you subscribe to podcasts, including Apple, Spotify. There's more of us than there are of them.
There you go.
That needs to be reflected in the comments. There's more of us than there are of them. So make sure you're doing that. We will talk to you on CBS Sports Network, 2 o'clock Eastern, on Thursday. Till then, take care.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.